Good morning again. This is Digital Dave.
I'm Fast Eddie.
And we indeed are on EAA Radio.
And I'd like to give a shout out to all of our Australian buddies down under there. Cheers, mates.
Good day, mate. Put a shrimp on the bobby. Yeah. And that's the last of my attempts to sound anything other than
me
what I am.
Me too. With us today, we have Bob Mackey, Senior Vice President of Falcon Insurance Company.
Oh, I love titles. Titles are great.
I'm telling you.
Hi, guys.
Good morning.
How you doing?
I'm doing great, and you?
Good, so far.
Yeah, so
good. Well, the insurance guys here, it's probably going to get worse.
Yeah.
Come on now.
You're here to help, I know.
Yeah. I'm not with the FAA or nothing.
That's true. But you guys are like lawyers, you know? You don't want to have to use them, but sometimes they're awfully handy.
There you go.
Yep. I always say people dislike insurance, and they dislike insurance people even more.
Yeah,
right up to the moment of
until
impact.
You say, here's the check.
Yeah,
right. Then they're all happy.
That's right.
I'm sure you've had plenty of these, here, hold my beer incidents.
Oh, yeah.
Well, and it's interesting because people, a lot of times they'll come into the exhibit or they'll call us or they'll get an email from people and say, hey, I got a question. What if this happens? And it's interesting because, what's that ad, Farmers Insurance?
Yeah,
so
yeah.
We know a few things because we've seen a few things.
Right.
I don't know, that's their jingle or whatever, so I'm not going to steal that. But, really over the years, I've seen a lot of stuff, and it amazes me that how things are covered and the things the pilots do. Sometimes they ought not to, but they're covered, unfortunately. Good for them. But.
Well, we had an incident way back when I was in a flying club where someone parked the airplane and didn't set the parking brake, and it rolled backwards into kind of a depression and smashed the elevator into the ground.
Yep.
You're like, okay, that's kind of you wouldn't think about that too often.
Exactly.
Anyway.
Yeah. So I brought a couple of things with me from the fun file.
From the archives?
Yeah, from the stories. And the names have been changed to protect the guilty.
Good.
But some stories here. I wanted to tell you one about Fast Freddy Low Flyer.
Okay.
Now, Fast Freddy Low Flyer had a very, very fast airplane, and he liked to fly low. And, in fact, Fast Freddy Low Flyer was flying one day with a friend down a river. And they were flying low over the river. And Fast Freddy Low Flyer did not see the wire across the river.
Ooh.
And he hit his tail, and he made it to the airport. Nobody got hurt. Everything was fine. And Freddie quickly put the airplane away in the hangar, but one of the linemen saw it and saw the damage to the vertical stabilizer. And of course, rumor spread around the airport about Fast Freddie pulling one of these watch this moments.
Right.
And so in that scenario, people say, well, would he be insured? The insurance policy will not cover an intentional act. So if you go out to the airport and you take a ball peen hammer and you start beating on your airplane, or you take an X-Acto knife or utility knife and start cutting the fabric, that's not covered because you went out there, you intended, you picked up the hammer, you picked up the utility knife, and you damaged your airplane. That's not covered. But Fast Freddy Low Flyer, he was covered. He did not intend to hit the wire.
Right.
He just intended to fly down the river. So an intentional act will be covered. Now, Fast Freddy had to join a flying club because he couldn't get insurance anymore for several years.
Yeah.
And so consequently, there was a consequence.
There was a repercussion. Yeah,
there was a repercussion. So fast, Freddy.
But he got his airplane fixed. He just couldn't fly it anymore.
Yeah.
Well, the other thing, too, is that's a happy ending because that could have been a whole lot worse.
Oh, yeah. 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 And I try not to tell the stories that unfortunately do have sad endings. But then there was also Backcountry Bob. And Backcountry Bob had an airplane with these big, huge Tundra tires, and he lived out in the backcountry, and he loved to do those watch this.
Yeah, like skip across the water and land on the riverbank.
Yeah, landed on the riverbank and on a rock pile, and he actually landed on a glacier one time up on landed up there and just turned around and again came right off the glacier. But what's interesting is Backcountry Bob had a loss one time too. He was landing on a sandbar on a river, and he thought it was firm enough, and it wasn't. He flipped his airplane over upside down. And in that situation, people say, well, was he covered? Clearly he's not landing at an airport. There's only one insurance company of all the companies we use that actually has in their policy an exclusion for intentionally landing at a non-airport. In other words, at a pasture or something like that. If it's an emergency, you're covered. But if you just intentionally go out and try to land someplace where you should not be landing, it's not an airport. But all the other companies, there's no exclusion in the policy. So Backcountry Bob was covered. And again, he had to join a flying club after that because he couldn't get insurance for several years because of his antics. So that was Backcountry Bob. Then there was Oscar, off airport Oscar.
Oh boy.
Oscar had an engine running rough, and Oscar was a well-trained, good pilot. And he took his 172, the engine was running rough, he decided to land on a highway next to a field because the field didn't look good. So he landed on the highway, but he was going to land in the field, and he did a perfect job, did not scratch the airplane at all. And he was getting ready to fly out of there, and he found out what was wrong, had a filter problem with the fuel, and got it fixed, and everything was running fine, ran the engine, everything. Getting ready to take off, the sheriff said, "Nope, you're not going to do that, Oscar. You can't take off from the road. I can't let you do that." And he said, "Oh, please let me do it." So finally, the sheriff relented and let Oscar, take off from the road. And on takeoff, he clipped some trees next to the road and ended up having an accident. And he tore up his airplane a lot. Now, what's interesting is, yes, it was covered because there's no exclusion in the policy. What Oscar didn't know is most insurance policies have a condition on them that if you land someplace that you don't think it's safe to fly out of, the insurance company will recover the airplane back to the closest airport at their expense, not yours. You don't have to pay for the mechanics and the truck and the trailer, come out, take the wings off, and truck it back to the airport. Hmm. So, and now if you have a claim, if you land in that field and you knock the nose gear out, of course they're going to recover the airplane for you. But used to be back in the day, they wouldn't cover that. They wouldn't pay for that expense. But now the insurance companies realize that they're better off paying for the expense of getting that airplane back to the airport for, $5,000 to lift it up and put it on a trailer and get it back, as opposed to paying for $50,000 when the airplane's all torn up and maybe even somebody got hurt.
Right.
So that's Oscar's story.
That's a good point, too.
It's something I wouldn't have thought of.
Yeah, me neither, because, you see about, once every 6 months somebody makes a forced landing on a road.
Yep. Exactly. So, in fact, I had a friend of mine, this is a true story, a friend of mine, he and his wife restore Cessna 140As. They're like aficionados on the Cessna 140 and the A model specifically. And they found an A model out in the San Francisco Bay Area. They went out and bought it, and he went out there, and he's a mechanic with the IAA and everything, and he worked on it, make sure it was ready to run and fly back, and ran the engine. The airplane was in annual and everything. It was pretty rough looking, but he was going to fly back to Illinois and do restoration on it and sell it. And he got about a mile and a half from the airport, and the engine quit. And he ended up landing in a bog in like a forest preserve, a nature reserve area. And he said it took him like 2 hours just to get out of the bog, just, because he's covered in mud. And,
yeah, that had to be awful. Deep.
But he got out, and the airplane, of course, went and hit the bog, flipped upside down. And in that particular case, he didn't have physical damage coverage on the airplane. But the insurance company paid for a helicopter service to go out there and pick up the airplane upside down and take it to the closest airport and set it down upside down, where he proceeded to take the wings off and rent a trailer and hauled it back to Illinois. But the insurance company paid for that because of the fact that it was causing property damage.
Oh.
And it was causing property damage in property that property damage could be significant because the bog was a nature area and it could be an environmental issue. So the insurance company, gladly paid for that.
Huh, interesting.
I never would have thought of that either.
I'll give you one last one, okay? You got time?
Sure.
Okay, so there is Frank Formation Flyer. Frank Formation Flyer likes to fly formation with his buddies. And Frank and his buddies, they didn't really spend a lot of time training, and they just went up and flew together. They flew different airplanes, had different power and whatever. And they were flying in, making a formation landing, a loose formation landing at the airport. But Frank was not paying attention. And he came in, and he didn't flare right, banged the airplane hard, knocked the nose gear out, and tore up the airplane. In a situation like that, it's covered. But again, insurance companies don't have an exclusion in the policy for formation flying, but they're becoming more sensitive to it because a lot of people, a lot of the RV guys fly together and stuff, and the guys and gals that have airplanes that are alike, they do that. So one of the things we tell people, if you're going to do that, now let us know, because we want to make sure that the insurance company knows what they're doing.
Right, what they're covering.
Right, what they're covering. And we want to make sure there's no exclusions. But it's amazing how these unique situations, as pilots, we all sit around and get a chuckle out of some of them, the old watch this factor. But there's some stuff you can learn about it, and your broker can help you sort it out and make sure that you do the right thing. So that's my fun file.
Well, now,
cool.
You talk about formation. Was he fast qualified?
Well, that's a good point. And in some cases, you don't really need to be. you know, it depends. And like, if you're going to be doing it at an event or something like that, that's where you need to be qualified. But if it's just a bunch of people that are going to take it cross country together and we're going to fly someplace for pancake breakfast, they're not doing that.
Okay, because there's a big difference between the formations at an air show and a bunch of guys just going to get a $100 hamburger.
Absolutely.
Okay,
but the risk is still there.
Right, but a fast qualification wouldn't hurt either.
Not at all.
And that's easy to get.
Yep, absolutely, correct.
For those of you who don't know, it's formation and safety training. That's what that's all about. And every formation pilot you see here flying in the formations at AirVenture does have a fast card.
That's right. In fact,
does the type of flying you do affect your premiums? In other words, if you're flying in an area like Hawaii, where like 50% of the flying is considered hazardous flying because of terrain, does that affect your insurance premium?
It can. Not so much Hawaii, but things like Alaska, where the environment, the climate and stuff, and the location where you're at, that can impact the pricing of the insurance. But more than that, really, is the availability of repair. Because if you're in an isolated area where the insurance company's going to have to move that airplane 300 or 400 miles to get it to a shop that can repair it, that drives up the cost of repair, and that gets reflected in the pricing.
Okay.
So, you know, the environment definitely comes into play.
Right. Well, I want to thank you for joining us, Bob. It's always good to have you here, and the humorous stories. These were the nice ones, but they were still humorous.
Absolutely.
It's always fun to be here.
Yep. I'm Digital Dave.
This is Fast Eddie, and you're listening to EAA Radio.